review or elaborate a little bit on a couple of pieces. One, that moment of remembering. I will emphasize this a lot. You're not going to miss that this is an important moment. One of the reasons it's such a helpful moment to connect with is because in that moment, as I mentioned several this morning, it's effortless. It's just arising. That moment, though, that moment of mindfulness returning, there can be, if you're not judging yourself for the fact that mindfulness got lost in that moment, that's often what we get to see early on. Mindfulness returns, and it's like we're already judging ourselves by the time we recognize that we're mindful. So perhaps just my encouragement to be curious about that moment of mindfulness returning might support a lessening of that judgment around mindfulness going away. If we just spent our entire time noticing the moments mindfulness returned, that would be valuable. The moment that mindfulness returns, there is a little bit of a contrast in that moment as mindfulness comes back. There's a little bit of a contrast between what it's like now with awareness and what it was like a moment before when awareness was lost. We can't be aware of what non-awareness is like. We can't be mindful of what non-mindfulness is like in the direct moment, because by definition, if we're mindful, then we're not non-mindful. But in that moment when mindfulness returns, there's like a lingering memory of what the experience of not being mindful was like. And so that moment when mindfulness returns, we get a little bit of a chance to taste the flavor of awareness, what it is to be aware, what it is to be mindful. Again, I'm using mindfulness and awareness synonymously here. So what is that experience of mindfulness arising? It can kind of feel like the light comes on or there's a brightness to the experience. These are just analogies, though, in a way. So just curious about that moment, because it does create that more direct connection with what awareness feels like, because of the contrast, not being aware in the previous moment. So just playing with that. Just playing with that. And then something else to support you in your daily practice. And this is useful, particularly at the beginning in walking practice. When we do walking practice, as I said earlier, without directing the attention, often in walking meditation, we choose to direct the attention to some of the movement of the body, the feet on the ground, the feet touching the ground, the movement of the legs. But if we're doing it more naturally, and that's essentially what we're looking at here, is what does it mean to be aware of what's natural as opposed to constructing something to be aware of? So what's already going on while we walk? And a lot of what's going on while we walk is seeing and hearing. And if we kind of shut our eyes and stopped up our ears and tried to walk, we wouldn't get very far. And it would be kind of dangerous, especially walking outside. And so it's very natural for the mind to be attending to those fields. And in fact, it does, even when we're doing a focused kind of meditation. It still has a part of its attention on the seeing and hearing. And so some kind of curiosity in the walking practice, when you're just exploring, what is it like to be aware while walking? To be curious about when the attention is in the field of seeing. And I find when I'm walking, it's often in the field of seeing. It's often noticing seeing is happening. And then if a car goes by, it'll shift to hearing for a little while. And then maybe, something happens on the ground and there's a change in the feeling of the pavement, and then the attention is in the body, the sensations of the feet and how the body feels touching the pavement. So there will again be this shift from these different fields of experience, but useful because we may not have practiced as much with consciously practiced with seeing and hearing as much as other fields of attention. That when we're walking, an interesting exploration, so noticing when you're in the field of seeing, and seeing if you can maybe notice the difference between kind of seeing as a general kind of thing, taking in the big picture, and when the attention is drawn to look at something. So noticing the difference between what we could call seeing, just that more, that's a more kind of stepped back or sort of receptive in a way, a kind of a receptive experience, just seeing. And that actually is a lot of how our seeing navigates things. We're not consciously looking at things, but it's just taking in the big picture. But then when something happens in that big picture, like a movement in the field of our vision, our attention will be drawn to that. This is useful. This is a helpful thing in the way our senses work, that our attentions are drawn to movement. They're drawn to change of color, change of shape. And so there will be times when the attention is naturally pulled or drawn to something in particular. And so noticing that difference, what's it like, seeing happening, and then suddenly you're looking at something. You're walking down the street and a bird flies across your path. Very naturally, the attention will kind of go to looking at that bird. We can notice that shift. We don't have to say preference and say, oh, gee, I should be in this like stepped back, receiving, seeing. If looking is what happens, we can notice that. That's a kind of a shift of attention. The attention is drawn to looking. So just be curious about that shift. It might shift from seeing to looking, and then from one looking to another looking. So just curious about that process. And a similar process is we can explore in the field of hearing as well. We can be taking in, that hearing is happening, kind of the ambient sounds, and then some particular sound arises, the chattering of a squirrel, and suddenly we're listening to that squirrel. So noticing again the difference between hearing being a more non-directed or non-focused experience, and when the attention kind of is going to that particular sound. That will happen without our involvement. We often think we did that. When we focus on something, we think we've been in charge of that. But if you explore in this way of noticing, seeing and looking and hearing and listening, you'll see that it just happens. It's the nature of our system to have these orienting capacities. And those orienting things happen to us differently based on our conditioning. So some people may, walk down the street and be oriented towards certain kinds of things, and other people may be oriented towards other things just based on what our history is. So these orientations are conditioned, but they're also arising very naturally. And so kind of just curious about that process, the shift from seeing to looking, hearing to listening, maybe from looking to listening. This is an exploration of the shift of attention. And this is useful for us also in our sitting practice because this is a way, our attention will shift from thing to thing. It will shift from one body sensation to a sound to another experience. And again, we can get familiar. I find the field of seeing to looking, hearing to listening is an easy way to begin to get familiar with that experience of noticing when the attention goes to something, shifts to something. But we can also recognize it between any experience, a shift of attention between any experience. We're sitting and the breath is obvious, and then there's a sound outside, and our attention shifts to that. So if we can be curious about this shifting attention, rather than having an idea of shift of attention wrong, need to be back with some other experience, if we can just know, oh, attention is shifted, then the mindfulness will follow. And we don't have to, we don't have to try to hold mindfulness still. When we can notice that shift of attention, very naturally the mindfulness will shift with it. And that shift of attention, when the attention shifts, I would say, let's say, some good percentage of the time when our minds wander. I don't know if you know how much, but probably a good 90% of the times when our mind wanders, it's because the attention has shifted to an object, to an experience, and we haven't noticed that it's shifted. Our kind of agenda has been on something else, but the system has decided to attend to something. And we didn't notice that shift. So noticing this shift of attention is a powerful way to support this receptive awareness. We don't have to hold on or make the attention shift in a particular way, but it's kind of like we follow or track, or maybe even let go of tracking. We just recognize that attention is shifting from one thing to another. At one point, I described this kind of experience to Sayadaw Utejaniya, and he laughed and he said, "Yeah, it's kind of like you have a dog on, you're taking a dog for a walk, and the dog's gonna bound here and look there and get its nose in this, and it's gonna be all over the place. But if you're in California, at least you have to have your dogs on a leash, and so you have your dog on the leash." And it's okay that it's going every which way. You still have that connection to the leash. And he said, yeah, you don't have to control the dog. You don't have to make it like walk in a particular way. You just have to hold on to the leash, and then it can do its thing within that kind of constraint of the leash being there. And so that's the kind of, curious about where does the attention go? We don't have to stop it, but just kind of follow it, be with it, be with that shifting of attention. So I think I'll leave that for now with the reflections from this morning. And I'll take a question that came into the form. Somebody submitted a question, so I'll start with that one, and then we'll open it up to the questions from the group. So the question is about how to know whether there's any progress. Are there any recommendations for how to gauge one's progress in the daily life practice, either for sitting meditation or in daily life, whether over days, weeks, or months? And the person says that in the more traditional meditation or the breath meditation, there's a little bit of something that we can measure by, right? It's like if we're paying attention to the breath, we can notice we're able to be with more breaths in a row, or we notice that we're coming back to the breath more quickly, that kind of thing. And so how do we know that we're making progress is the question. Well, I'd like to change the language a little bit from making progress to How do we know the practice is supporting us? How do we know it's helpful? Because progress in our minds, at least, progress seems to have a very, linear kind of things will go in a particular direction. And there's to some extent, it does. It does kind of practices as a whole, whatever practices we're doing, there is often a more capacity built for that practice, but it's definitely not a linear kind of thing. And it's more like a really wavy curve. It maybe heads in the direction of more moments of mindfulness, or in the direction of being able to stay with the breath longer or something like that. But it's going to be really, some days, some sittings, it's going to be all over the place, and you're not going to be able to be there at all. And some days it'll be much, much more clear and more stable. So I like just, how do we know the practice is supporting us? How do we know it's helpful? Because sometimes it may feel like the mind is all over the place, and it doesn't feel very stable. And yet what's happening there is that you are learning about something new, and there is something growing, something developing there, some capacity to be with a new kind of challenge or struggle. And so when conditions change, the practice, the guideposts that we use for practice sometimes, they look different. So we can't necessarily gauge things in the way that we might think. But I will offer a few thoughts or suggestions about, in the same way of over time, the rough direction of the practice would be, there would be more moments of recognizing awareness returning. That was one that the person asked a question about. Is that one way to guide, to judge, or to know? Some sense of the mind popping back to the frequency of the natural returning to awareness, that's happening more. That is a way, that is something that does start to happen. Another flavor of that I've experienced in my own practice and that other people have talked about is that there's less of a feeling of getting really lost. It's kind of, there's this, sometimes people talk about a state of more or less mindful. Joseph Goldstein uses that phrase, and often it's used in a way that maybe is, we should do something if it's more or less mindful. We should get a little bit more, engaged with the practice if it's more or less mindful. But what I see in my experiences through this practice over the course of my years working with this practice, starting out, there were like large moments, large chunks of time where mindfulness was just gone during the day. And then it would be like, oh, wow, mindfulness is back. Here I am again. Wow, I was really caught in that thing. And then, just aware for a while and then lost again. But at this point, it's much more like there's more or less mindfulness happening a lot. And so the difference between the kind of the place of the mind not being fully mindful and aware and the mind becoming more aware, it's less sharp. It's less obvious in a way. It's more of a just a subtler shift of, oh yeah, I'm more clearly aware now. But there was quite a bit of awareness happening before. So that's another thing that may start to happen, is that if there's more, it feels like mindfulness is more available, more accessible in a way. And there are more times, perhaps, of longer stretches of mindfulness. That mindfulness returns for that moment of mindfulness, and there's that wave of mindfulness can last for slightly longer periods of time. shorter times between those moments. So those kinds of things are ways that we see that the practice is strengthening. And a lot of those do have to do with recognizing awareness, you know, noticing that capacity, that experience of being aware. Because in this practice, we are not, what's happening is not as important. And so, you know, it's like, am I experiencing, you know, more breaths is not relevant in this practice, because it might be a breath and then a body sensation and then a thought and then another body sensation and then a sound. And so it's not, you know, that we don't kind of recognize or know the stability of the mindfulness based on the objects. We know it more based on the experience of awareness. And there's a little bit of time that it takes to get familiar or get used to what that experience is. So those are some of the kind of basic ways that we can see that the practice is strengthening. More ways we can see over a longer kind of stretch of time. And many, many teachers speak, I think the Dalai Lama spoke of, you know, don't judge your practice over, you know, this sitting or that sitting. Look back over 5 years and see, am I more at ease now? Is there a less struggle happening now? And so, you know, the long arc of practice is really what we can recognize, especially in daily life. We can start to see there's more ease with recognizing challenge in our experience. Less of a struggle when challenge comes up. It's more that the wisdom that knows, yeah, this can be met. You know, the wisdom that recognizes this is not a problem. This is just something happening. That's stronger. And then the mindfulness that meets what happening, there's not so much of a reactivity with whatever is happening. The mind is much more able to hold whatever's happening. So there's more connection to what we could call an allowing attitude. An attitude that is just, this is what's happening. I can be with that. So that strengthens over time. There might be, you know, recognition of, as I just mentioned, there might be a recognition of the diminishment of reactive habits and patterns. We might see over weeks, months, or years. I've seen it happen at all of those scales. Sometimes over weeks, that's when it's a little bit more like exciting. Like, wow, just like 3 weeks ago, it was like this, and now it's like this. But then, you know, one of the things about that kind of understanding that happens is that's also like subject to change. It's perhaps a set of conditions in that particular stretch of time that give you more capacity, and then, you know, something happens. And there's a lot more reactivity in the mind, and then you're back to where you were before. So that's not a sign that you've lost ground so much. It's more a sign that, wow, there's new conditions, new things to be learned. So we might recognize a diminishment of reactive patterns over time. And sometimes we can see, you know, this for me, this kind of experience was more, I would say, confidence affirming. It gave me such confidence in the practice. There was a one point when I saw a particular reactive pattern arise in the moment. It was one of those more or less mindful places, and the mind moved into a habit that was moving it towards suffering, and it was like the suffering became, or the potential for suffering became a wake-up bell for the mindfulness. And the mind was immediately there seeing, wow, all of those thoughts and where they want to go and how much they just want to jump on that train and just charge into suffering. And the mind seeing all of that, it just let go of the whole thing in a split second. Now that doesn't happen to me all the time. You know, that particular experience though was one that was very strong, confidence building, trust in the practice, and it really, you know, it gave me the sense of wow, this practice can help the mind like just like let go. It was I could feel the like the freight train of movement heading towards that suffering, and it just vanished. So that was very affirming that this practice works. Now, that kind of sense of the practice works, whether or not it feels like it's doing that in this particular moment, the confidence in the practice, the confidence strengthens. So that's another sign that practice is supporting us when we have that confidence that, yeah, it doesn't matter what's happening. I might be caught in that suffering pattern again. But there's the confidence that the mindfulness of that is supportive to help the mind to begin to let go of it. And maybe even to see it let go at times. So, yeah, those are some thoughts about noticing how practice, how we know that practice is supporting us, working, and, you know. It's such a different model than our usual sense of making progress. We have to have a lot of flexibility about it. Things may be more easeful for a time and then get really challenging again. And it's not that somehow you've gone backwards. It's usually that some new condition is arising, or many conditions are arising together that we hadn't explored together before.